We're going to read the same passage of Scripture we did last Sunday, and our message title today is Every Soul Needs the Great Shepherd. Every soul, let's say that together. Every soul needs the Great Shepherd. We're keying off of the candle, the shepherd's candle. Go ahead, Emmy. Go ahead.
And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
Let's all read the first line together, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson went on a camping trip and set up their tent and fell asleep. Some hours later, Holmes wakes up his faithful friend and says, "Watson, look up in the sky and tell me what you see." Watson replies, "Well, I see a million stars." Sherlock says, "Well, what does that tell you?" Watson ponders for a minute and says, "Astronomically speaking, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically speaking, it tells us that Saturn is in Leo. Time-wise, it appears to be approximately 3:15. Theologically speaking, it's evident that the Lord is all-powerful and we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically speaking, it seems that we'll have a beautiful day tomorrow. What does it tell you, Sherlock?" Sherlock Holmes is silent for a moment and he says, "Watson, my dear friend, someone has stolen our tent." I told that story for two reasons. One of them is they were out in the flock by night. I mean, they were just out there looking up in the night sky. And the other reason is this is Christmas time and everybody needs all the endorphins they can get. And this is our Advent season. Advent is the four Sundays leading up to the celebration of Jesus coming. And as we go through the different Advent candles, prophecy candle, the Bethlehem candle, shepherd's candle, I want to focus on our soul's need for a shepherd. And today, let's go ahead and put in our first fill in the blank here. Number one, without a shepherd, says the ruination of a shepherdless soul. Every soul needs the great shepherd. And if you don't have it, there's going to be ruin in your life. The Bible declares in Isaiah 53, verse 6, and I have these scriptures in there with you, if you want to look along with me. "All we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned every one to his own way." The shepherdless soul, the propensity of the soul of man is to turn from God, to walk away from God, to be selfish, to be self-focused, not to be submissive to the Lord's will, but in the Lord's way. But what you see here in this scripture is also the remedy. You see the problem and you see the solution. And he's laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The great shepherd of the sheep has taken all of the sins of the sheep upon his soul. All we like sheep have gone astray. And I want to ask you a question. This season, is there an area of your soul that you've gone astray? This is what I'm inviting us to do last week we talked about Bethlehem moments, these moments that we have with the Lord. But I believe the Lord wants to probe our hearts just a little bit this morning and say, are there places in your life that you've been straying? Not to bring condemnation, but to bring adjustment. How many of you need adjustment on occasion? where the Lord would say, come and let me shepherd you into wholeness. Let me bring something into your life that you need. Because the shepherdless life is a life of ruin. Shepherdless life is a life of great ruination to all that you're about. Because let's look at this next verse together. It says, oh, by the way, let me go ahead and say this. Jesus had the audacity to say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is that he is the shepherd, and you are the sheep. Jesus talked about this often, how he even told the story of how we heard this morning, how he left the 100 to go after the one, left the 99 to go after the one. Have you ever had the Lord hunt you down? Isn't he a wonderful shepherd? And you may need just some, like I said, some fine tuning. There might be some areas in your soul, in your life, where you're just not hitting on all pistons and you're just away and there's something that's just gone astray inside. We want to invite the Lord to say to us, Holy Spirit, come and help me get back on track. With all the activities, with all these things, in the stress and strain of this season, it can bring up some areas where you just find yourself needy and maybe turning to something other than the Lord. So we want to say, Lord, we want you to be first and second. Are you there with me? Is there a place in your life where you need... You know, Jesus even, I think it's in your next verse there, Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, I love this verse. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered. And then he makes the analogy, like sheep having no shepherd. Like sheep having no shepherd. Jesus was moved with compassion looking at people who were weary and scattered. And you look up these words, there are different translations and different versions. Harassed, dispirited. It means that you're overcome with a sense of exhaustion and you just want to quit and give up. And Jesus saw the multitudes wanting to quit and give up, overwhelmed with a feeling of fatigue and tiredness and saying, I'm done. How many of you have been there before? And the Lord would say to you, come unto me, all that you weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for my way is easy, my burden is light. And the Lord wants us this season to be mindful that he's the shepherd of our soul. He wants to take care of you in places that maybe you haven't allowed him to or were not aware of the care that he has for you. And that's the truth. Most people don't. There's blind spots in each of us where we just have a sense of, I got to do it on my own. Isn't that the truth? How many of you gone through seasons where you go, finally you wake up and realize, God had a better idea all along. Why did I take so long? Why? What is wrong with me? Right? I'm so weary. I'm so lost in my own life. And the good shepherd comes along and says, come on, little buddy. How many of you felt the soothing love of the Lord? In moments where you're just upside down in your life, you don't know what's going on, you feel helpless, you feel hopeless, and he manifests something for you. He wants to move in our life this way. He wants to put a double assurance inside of you for the past failures that have caused you to be hopeless and feel helpless. The Lord is there to tend to you. If you battle depression during this season, the Lord wants to crack the back of it and release your mind into free thinking and a peaceful approach to life. Isn't he good? Because I know what it's like to live under the fears of what's going to happen next. To live under all the weight of things that go wrong in a life. And you know as well as I do, if you don't have a time to just meet with the Lord and worship him and draw close to him, how wearying life becomes so quickly because your soul needs the great shepherd. And we come to be renewed in the reality of his love for us, don't we? I am a sheep. I'm schizophrenic because I'm a sheep and a shepherd, see? No, actually, I come to the great shepherd. And you know what's cool about the shepherds in the story? Even back in the story, the shepherds receive a message. And then they go check it out. And then they go tell the message. And then they rejoice that they over the telling of the message. It's just like a pastor. You receive a message, you go to the Bible, make sure everything's right, and then you go tell it, and then you rejoice because the benefit and the fruit of it. Just like in your life, too. You hear something that God wants to do. You make sure it's right in the Bible. You go share it. It's an encouraging word for somebody. And then you rejoice because both of you are built up because you had something refreshing to say and speak to someone. And I want to ask you this season to be a sheepdog. Be one that helps the sheep stay under the hand of the shepherd. Be one that causes other people to sense that great hope and love that comes from the shepherd, Christ Jesus. And there's another verse here. It says, Ezekiel 34, verse 5 says, "So they were scattered because there was no shepherd." And this is really an unfortunate verse here. "And they became food for all the wild beasts." Have you had anything chewing on you lately? Have you had anything eating you up? That's a metaphoric way to say it. It's so funny how we say, you know, most people will say, well, of course, you know, according to Psalm 100, you know, it says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So people accept the idea that we're his sheep. And then we say, you know, Jesus is the shepherd. And so we accept the idea that he's shepherd. And then we go to the wild beasts and we say, they're just wild beasts. But they're not wild beasts. They're demonic powers. They're works of the devil. They're works of darkness. And they come to chew on the souls of men who are shepherdless. And they come to ruination because they have no shepherd. The shepherd is incredible because he has the ability to ward off demonic powers. In the book, the shepherds look at the 23rd Psalm. It's the most beautiful thing. The shepherd mixes up this ointment with linseed oil and some kind of a pesticide stuff in it. And the sheep all gather around and he just rubs it in their heads. Can I just, like, just rub it in their heads and rub it. And they go, oh, they feel so good. They feel so good. But they don't know what's going on is that there's this little fly. It's called the nose fly. And the nose fly has come around and that particular anointing keeps the nose flies away. And if you don't have that anointing, what happens? Those things get up and they crawl up inside the membrane of the head and they begin to chew on the brain. Incredible picture of spiritual warfare against the sheep. And the good shepherd says, I have an anointing. It's found in Psalm 23. Thou anointest my head with oil. It keeps the adversary at bay. Some of us, we just need to come and open up our hearts, open up our lives, begin to say, Lord, freshly anoint me for the works that would, for the flies that would fly by, for those thoughts that would be destructive, for the things that would chew on my mind, for those things that would just eat away the confidence in you, those things that would cause me to be unforgiving, cause me to feel resentful, cause me to fall down in depression and be overwhelmed. Lord, help me, help me, help me. Come, shepherd of my soul, anoint me. Cause me to have a power over that. How many of you say yes? Amen. And right in your notes there, every answer to every problem is found in the presence of God. Would you say that with me? Every answer to every problem is found in the presence of God. Why is that? It's because the answer to every prayer is more of Him in your life. It really is. I remember getting with the intercessors one night, and we just decided to worship. We had a big list. We had a big list of things we're going to pray for. A big, long list. And we worshiped and worshiped and worshiped. And God came in such a powerful, weighty expression of His love and outpouring. And we looked at the list, and we knew it was all taken care of. It's like, we feel embarrassed now to mention these things because we know in you they're all taken care of. Amen. The answer to all of them was just, there's more of you here now. Yes. Come on, somebody. There's more of the Lord. The answer to every problem is more of God's presence in your life. And people go from counselor to counselor, from situation to situation. If they just stop and pursue the shepherd of their soul and open up to Him, and worship Him, and seek His Word, and hear His voice. Gee, it seems like I read somewhere that He speaks to His sheep. And many problems are solved. We were talking about the warfare of taking this place. Pastor Heather and I, we were talking about, honey, all kinds of worries, all kinds of things would come against our minds. And there would be these little moments I would just seek the Lord, and suddenly there would be a little tiny little whisper in my heart. Just a little tiny whisper. And I'd camp on the whisper. And we were talking about it. It says, what do you do? That little rhema word, that little whisper, the shepherd says, it's going to be okay. And I have a little, I wrote them all down. There are little things that he would say. And then what happened is when the opposite of that would manifest and worries would come and all these things, I would begin speaking what was whispered. I would war with the whisper. I would make known to the traffic around my mind that there was a word spoken very quietly in my spirit that has more power than all of that. How many of you have been there before? It's time to war with the whispers of God's assurance in your heart, especially during this season. You see, we are a microwave generation living with a crockpot God. We want it right now. I pray now, I want it right now. And God goes, we're working in you. And it's going to take a little longer to me sort these things out. I remember being in California, and I would come out of being at the church on the way, went to the high desert of Southern California, and my wife and I were in a kind of a year before coming here. It was the refiner's fire year. Really, really hard year. The toughest year in my life. And the Lord was saying, I'm going to work in your life. And it wasn't fun. It was so painful. And I wanted to get out of it very, very much. I wanted to bolt. I wanted to leave. Does anybody ever have that feeling, I want to get out of whatever this is? And you know what the Lord actually said to me? He said this, son, it took a long time for me to set this up. You can go, but it's going to take me a long time to set up another one of these for you to enter into your destiny. If you let me do the work now. Come on, somebody. If you let me do the work now. How many of you feel like you've been pulled through a knothole before? If you let me, something comes out the other, when you come out the other side and something else is not there that was all you that wasn't necessary to have. And that refiner's fire burns things away, doesn't it? Man, I'm happy I came today. So if there's something eating you up, the Lord wants a fresh anointing on your mind. He wants you to have a freedom come over your life this season. So we come to the Good Shepherd. We lift our hands and say, freshly anoint me, Lord. Touch me. Make your word alive in my heart, in my mind. Because the presence of God is what everything really is about for the believer. If you sit down to open the word of God without the presence of God in your life, it'll just be words on paper. But when you sit down and you're in the presence of God because you're worshiping, the words light up and the spirit of the author speaks to you. I want to invite you to have a heart of worship when you approach the word of God and sit down with the author of the book. Are you there? Everybody say, yes, I'll do this. Yes, amen. And by the way, tell the person, if you actually didn't know, this is really good preaching. Go ahead, tell them that this is really good preaching. In case you didn't know. Let's go ahead and put up point number two, and then we'll be coming toward the... Are you ready? And there's only 2 points this time. The completion of a well-shepherded soul. As soon as you write that down, I'm going to go ahead and get 4 people from the studio audience. From the congregation, and can I pick you? Would you like to do that? You want to be one? Come on up, buddy. You stand right here. You be this guy. He's going to be the people in group number one. This is group number one. Hey, so I'm group number one. Would somebody come and be in group number two right here? Who would like to be in group number two? Anybody? Come on up, Matthew. This will be group number two. You'll be right here. Is group number three available? I'm going to go ahead and pick on somebody. You want me to pick on you? Come on up. Yeah, come on down. Come on down there. Come on, Noah. Yeah, there we go. Get a little participation from the... You want to be group number four? Come on up. Here's group three. You come on right here. And group four is right here. This is all about growing. This is all about growing in the Lord. In group one, everybody that's in group one is a person. Now, there is a group, subgroup, that's they're not interested at all. But group one is, everybody say, exploring God. Exploring God. They don't know the Lord yet, but they're exploring. They're exploring. And the key word here is fellowship. Fellowship. There's fellowship going on with those that are exploring God. Okay? Now, over here is group two. Group two is beginning. Everybody say beginning in God. Beginning in God. And what's going on here is relationship. So over here is fellowship. We don't know the Lord yet, but we're fellowship with people, and there's fellowship going on, and we're exploring the truths of God. And over here is beginning in God, and this is all about actually having a relationship. What is it that gets a person from this point to this point? It's one thing. It's one thing. It's a discovery of a reality, a spiritual reality. And the spiritual reality is this. It's the truth of God's grace. Grace. Everybody say grace. For by grace you're saved through faith. Not of yourselves. This is not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a work of grace. And this person in group one makes a decision to embrace the reality of God's grace. And they move from being in group one to group two. You move from exploring God in a fellowship to now beginning in God. And now you have a relationship with God. It's all because you make a decision to choose grace. Understand now, how's grace work? You can't come up to God and say, I got money, can I buy it? You can't come up to God and say, I got some really good looks, can I get in on my charm? No, how you get in is you say, I have some sin. And you take what is wrong with you, and He gives you what's right with Him. And that's what grace is. You give God what's wrong with you, and that's the first steps of grace, and He gives you what's right with Him. So that's getting from group one to group two. Now, who's in group three? Everybody say, close to God. We're beginning in God, but now we're getting close to God. And we move from relationship to, everybody say, discipleship. And by the way, all the way along here, you never want to abandon ship, okay? You just want to keep... You want to keep going from fellowship to relationship to discipleship, right? But there's a jump. There's a truth that you must lay hold of to step from beginning in God. Some people stay in the beginning of God stage their whole life because this is the truth. Are you ready? I didn't hear anybody saying, well, I can go home now if you want. Is anybody ready for the next truth? Okay, thank you for responding. That was fun. Are you ready? You make a choice to embrace the reality that God's Word is the final authority over every area of your life. That's what real discipleship is. You move from beginning in God to being close to God because you have chosen that the Word of God is the final authority for your life. How many of you find that God is the healer? God is saved to the uttermost. Your mess up can't be big enough. Aren't you happy about that? You may be afraid it's too big of a mess up, and fear will hold you back, but I tell you, I'm proof. God accepts big mess ups. Tell the person next to you, there are no lost causes in Christ. No, one lost cause. You can't be a lost cause in Jesus. So now we make the decision from here. We say we embrace the grace of God and we get to here. And then the journey from here to the second group of being close to God. We say the Word of God is the final authority of everything in my life. And I'm going to step over here and now I'm close to God. What could be more than that? Are you ready for group four? By the way, these are all really tied to the parable of the sower. When you get over here, this is, everybody say, God-centered. This is from being close to God and being a disciple to being now God-centered. And this is, everybody say, lordship. Now you're living not just as a disciple, but you're living with the lordship of Jesus Christ over every area of your life. And what is that truth? We move from understanding the revelation of the grace of God. We step now, we understand the revelation of the fullness of God's Word, the finality of God's Word. What is it now that moves us from being close as a disciple to being God-centered under His Lordship? Are you ready? It's the revelation of giving. Giving of yourself in every way to serve the Lord. Every area of your life. Not just finances, every area of your life. You have chosen, I'm going to be giving all that I am. Let me go ahead and tell you, you'll be happy you did. Because you're going to meet Jesus one day, and this will mean the most. This shift right here. God is center. I'm a God-centered person. His lordship is everything. Learning how to live every area of your life under the complete lordship of Jesus. Because I'm going to go ahead and tell you, everything that you've gained outside of Him is going to be burned up anyway. But everything He adds to you is going to be good for you. And this is all about the completeness of a well-shepherd soul. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. The completeness of a well-shepherd's soul. Paul said in Hebrews 13, 20 through 21, says, I love this. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. See these steps? Here's a God of peace. He raises up the Lord Jesus from the dead. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. And through the blood that He has spilt, the everlasting covenant is formed. And what is it all about? It's to make you complete. To make you complete in every good work to do His will. In the discipleship stage, this is really important, guys. What I've learned a lot about how the Lord will free you from your bondages, from your pains, and heal you from your pains in life, all the things that went wrong. Even, and I'm going to throw out some big stuff, even cleanse the generational things that went wrong before you ever showed up. God will take care of all this for your life. You hang around here, He'll deal with all that. You'll be happy. Maybe happy He does, happy He did. That's the kind of thing that the Lord will do. He will go into the deep places and say, I'm going to free you from things that you don't even know why you end up in the places you do. I'm going to work in you and make you complete in every good work to do. Says, do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to His glory. There was a tour bus in Israel. And there was a tour guide on the tour bus, and he was talking about the qualities of the shepherd. And he was telling them how the shepherd leads the sheep. And the tour group was really into everything he was saying. And he was saying it's such a wonderful thing because all the sheep, truly, as it teaches in the Bible, they know the voice of the shepherd. And they're just all intrigued. And they're driving the bus, and it's coming up on a flock of sheep. But instead of it being like he said, where the shepherd is leading them and they're all following, there's a guy and he's driving the sheep across the street. And he's like, no, no. And this guy's just driving the sheep and he's driving the sheep. And he's like, this is wrong. And he runs out of the bus. He's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? A shepherd leads the sheep. He says, shepherd, I'm not a shepherd. I'm a butcher. Wow. He was driving the sheep to be butchered. He was not a shepherd. But let me tell you what happens under the lordship. When you're a well-shepherd soul, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. How many of you have been way too busy that you need Him to make you lie down in green pastures? How many have been so busy that you need Him to lead you beside still waters? Even under His lordship as shepherd, you need Him to restore your soul. You'll go through things and go through trials and go through things, and you'll need Him to restore. Even under the lordship, He's going to say, I'm your Lord and I'm your shepherd, and you shall not wander under my care. And He says, and leads you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. How many of you have been on the wrong path and are tired of that and you want to get back on the right path? Are you there? Let me go ahead and say, the Lord has plans for you. It's bigger than that. It's not just He just made them up. They've been actually destined before you were born. The Bible teaches you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And He has planned beforehand that you would walk in them. That all the days in your life were planned before there was yet one of them. That there is actual passions in your heart that you want to fulfill, and there's a sense of completeness that comes in your life when you begin to walk out what He's destined you to be and do. And the key thing is that when you move from discipleship and you deal with the issues, are you there? And now you're free. This is what's powerful about the gospel. Now you get to go in the wholeness of your soul and represent the King. and represent the Good Shepherd to others, knowing all along what it takes to become whole, knowing that there's more. See, for us to touch and reach the city, it doesn't mean what's going to require some healed healers, people who know, some people who've been liberated from some stuff. Are you there? It takes someone who knows the shaping hand of the Lord and what to stop doing and what to begin doing. How many of you just appreciate the governance of the Holy Spirit in your life? My buddy, Randy Rizek, years ago, was in Hawaii, and he was about to step out and cross the street, and a friend threw his arm out and stopped him. And a bus went right by and almost hit his nose. That fast. That reminds me of the governance of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you're about to step in something that'll wipe you out, and the Holy Spirit goes, And he's good, too. I was driving down a road, and I just let my foot off the gas, and suddenly I was picking up speed. This is back in California, and I was speeding faster and faster. I think it was up to about 80, 85. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit goes, and I put on the brakes. And right as I put on the brakes and slowed down to the speed limit, a police car went by. Oh, the governance of the Holy Spirit. He said, I didn't want you to lose your license, son. It was fun letting your foot off the gas and just letting it roll down the hill, but we didn't want you to get in trouble. Oh, the governance of the Good Shepherd. One last thing. Yea, though I what? Walk through the what? The valley of the shadow of what in the world is that? How many of you have gone through some of those? Walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are what? With me. This is incredible. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come to Him. This season, come to Him. Relinquish your rights over things that you think you have a right to. Don't let anything rob the flow of forgiveness from His throne through you. And just be under the shaping hand of the Good Shepherd. Are you there? Would you set everything aside just for a moment? Let's close in a little time of prayer here. Holy Spirit, come freshly. Come with that anointing over everybody's minds, we pray. Come, Lord, with those without condemnation. Lord, just show us these areas where we've been being chewed on, where we've been being maybe astray, where we've been wearied. Are you there? Holy Spirit doesn't want you to be walking in to this place and leaving the same way that you came in. Because the hope of the Lord and the help of the Lord transform our hearts. So, Spirit of God, fall fresh in this place. As we've been worshiping You, as we come and declare Your Word, we thank You, Lord, that You, the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great Shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, now come and make us perfect in every way, make us complete in every way, working in us what is well-pleasing in Your sight, through Jesus Christ, to Whom be glory and honor forever and ever. We ask, Lord, that You would work this in us this season, this Advent season. Come with Your touches. Now I have a sense that the Lord's just going to open up a door for somebody. And it's not going to be stress and strain as it used to be. The Lord is a favor, a God of favor. And because of decisions You're making in your heart right now, the Lord says, I'm going to open up favor for you. I'm going to extend a door that was closed. And I'm going to open it up. I'm not sure the nature of the door. It could be just an opportunity. It could be even a healing. But the Lord is opening up something for some of you because you said in your heart, I'm going to choose to let the Shepherd lead me. And the Lord leads us in paths of righteousness. He opens doors that nobody can shut. He has places for you and things to do. There's been tormentors come. The Lord says, I'm going to shut the door on that. I'm going to open the door to the freedoms that you have need of. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and just rejoice in the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord Jesus. You're worthy of all praise, worthy of all honor. You're the great shepherd of the sheep. And we give you all praise and honor, Lord, this season. Praise your name, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Love on each other, church.